story of King Herod. Now, this was a different Herod than when Jesus was a little baby. This was his one of his sons. There was a Herod that was king when Jesus was a little baby that the wise men came to, and this again was one of his sons. And the story of this King Herod is a very tragic story. It's a story of a man that was living in sin, that was confronted by God. I mean, God just came to him and confronted him with his sin and the claims that God had on his life. And it's a story of a man that was convicted and deeply moved by the claims of God. And he came to a crisis in his life. He came to a time in his life where he had to make the choice. And he made the wrong choice. And he kept his sin. He hung on to his sin. He hugged his sin, however you want to say it. And he rejected God. And when he did that, God rejected him. And from that moment on, Herod was a damned soul headed for hell. Tragic story. But it's a story, a tragic story that's being played over and over again today. It's being played out in the lives of some of our family members. It's being played out in the lives of some of our friends. It may even be being played out today in the life of some people that are sitting in this very room this morning. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're headed for the same fate that Herod is. And every single one of us that are Christians in here today, and I know the vast majority of us that are here today are Christians, all of us have friends, all of us have acquaintances, all of us probably even have people in our own family that are making that same wrong choice that Herod made. I want to preach a sermon this morning entitled, The Wrong Choice. The Wrong Choice. I have two purposes in doing it. Number one, I want to speak to those that are here this morning that still have that choice in front of them. They have to decide, am I going to hang on to my sin or am I going to trust Jesus? And I want to encourage you this morning, don't make the same choice that Herod made. I want you to make the right choice. I want you to choose God. I want you to choose Jesus. I want you to choose his salvation. And so my first purpose is to speak to those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. My second purpose is to talk to all the Christians here. Because as I tell you the story of Herod, I want it to motivate and encourage us to go to those people that we know, our acquaintances that still face the same choice that Herod faced, and do everything we can to help them make the right choice, to choose God, to choose Jesus, to let go of their sin. We can talk about the story of Herod, and I'm going to do it this morning in three parts, three different parts. Part number one is the part where Herod was confronted by God, where God came to him and spoke to Herod and just confronted him with the claims of the gospel. Now, let me tell you that this part of the story. It involves John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Christ. He told the people that followed him on several different occasions, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. I am not the one you're looking for. And so those that followed him and those that heard him preach said, well, then, who are you? If you're not the Messiah, who are you? Why are you baptizing all these people? And John answered him like this. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he wore clothes made out of camel's hair. He wore a leather girdle. He ate locusts, wild locusts, and honey. But I want to tell you this morning that the honey didn't spill over to his preaching. He was a sin-hating, fire and brimstone kind of preacher, and he preached the same message every time he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he wasn't one of these preachers that trimmed their sails depending on who was sitting in the audience. It doesn't matter who was sitting there. The message never changed. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. On one occasion, the Bible tells us that the religious rulers, the scribes and the Pharisees, came and heard him preach. He used the same message: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said to those religious rulers, O generation of vipers, called them a bunch of snakes, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meant for repentance. He says, you may be the religious rulers of the day. You may be the scribes and the Pharisees and try to tell everybody how to behave. But he said to them, you need to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. King Herod was in his audience, and the same message. Didn't matter to John that the king was there. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said this to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Adam and I were up here yesterday, and I said, why did John say that? Why wasn't it lawful for Herod to have his brother's wife? And Adam said, I don't know. He said, I thought her husband was dead, and he married her. I don't see anything wrong with that. So we got several books out back there in the library and began to study. And let me tell you what I found out. It makes this scripture a lot more alive to me and understand what John was talking about. Herod was one of four kings that ruled over Israel under the auspices of the Roman government. Augustus Caesar, the emperor of Rome, had appointed four different people to rule over Israel. Herod was one of them. He was responsible for the area of Galilee and a place called Perea, P-E-R-E-A. Herod had several brothers. One of them was a private citizen named Philip, who lived in Rome. Now, this came out from the Jewish historian Josephus. If you ever want a book that will put you to sleep, let me know. I'll loan you the book of Josephus, and you will not have insomnia. But he had a brother, a private citizen named Philip, that lived in Rome. One time, Herod went to Rome, and he met Philip's wife, this lady by the name of Herodias. And Herodias wanted more. And Herod wanted her. So he seduced her by saying, hey, Herodias, why don't you just marry me? You could be a king's wife. And that's exactly what she did. She divorced Philip. Herod divorced the lady that he was married to. And the two of them got married. And John the Baptist, he was a preacher that called him as he saw him. He said, what you did was wrong. What you did is sin. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, we didn't read verse 19 a moment ago from that same chapter, Mark chapter 6, but let me read it to you now. Therefore, Herodias, the lady that was involved, or the woman that was involved in this affair, in this sin, had a quarrel against him, John the Baptist, and would have killed him, but she could not. Now let me tell you why she couldn't. We read it in verse 20. She could not kill him. She could not get her husband to kill him because the preaching of John the Baptist got to Herod. I mean, we read it in verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. You see, that what that verse says is that Herod kept his eye on John the Baptist. He watched him. He studied him. He watched how he lived his life. And Herod came to this conclusion. This is a just man. This is a holy man. This is a man sent from God. And if he's a man sent from God, then what John is preaching is just not something he made up. It's a message that comes from God. Repent, for my kingdom is at hand. And the Bible says in that verse that Herod feared John. He feared John. He said, he's telling me the truth. He's telling me what he's telling me is right. He's telling me that I'm a sinner and God's kingdom is coming and that I'm in trouble. The Bible says in that verse, he heard him gladly. You see, I don't think people have changed. I think people back then are just like people today. Deep down, They want somebody to tell them the truth. I know in the last days, the Bible says that people are going to have itching ears and they're going to get preachers and teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. But I think if most people were honest, deep down, they want somebody that will stand and tell them the truth of God. Yeah, when you go to the doctor, if you have something wrong with your body, you don't want the doctor to say, hey, everything's okay. I mean, you may want them to say that, but you don't want them to say that. You want them to be truthful with you. When you go to the dentist and you have a cavity, you don't want the dentist to say, hey, everything's okay. No, you want them to say, hey, you got some problems. When you go to the mechanic and your engine's about to blow up, you don't want the mechanic to say, Lois can tell you about this, hey, everything's okay. No, you want the doctor and the dentist and the mechanic to say, hey, there's something wrong. Here's what you need to do to fix it. And that's why I think Herod heard John gladly. He said, here's somebody. I'm sure Herod had all sorts of people around him that told him what he wanted to hear. He was the king. Probably had all sorts of people around him said, oh, Herod, you're a great king. You're a good guy. Everything you're doing is good. And John came and stuck his finger in his face and says, you're a sinner, and the kingdom of God is coming. You need to repent. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. The Bible says that Herod did many things. In that same verse, he did many things. Here's what Herod said, just like people say today. Well, John's right. I won't do exactly what God said, but I'll do some other things. I'll go to church. I'll be kind. I'll be a good ruler. I'll do what's fair as I rule. I'll pet the dog and stroke the cat. And I'll do all sorts of good things. And John said, Herod, doing things ain't gonna make any difference. You need to repent. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Let me echo today what John the Baptist said back then. You're a sinner. The kingdom of God is coming. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're headed for hell. You need to believe on Jesus. Just like Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You need to receive him. Bible says, for there's none other under heaven, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said himself, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And the Bible tells us it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're a sinner this morning and still don't have your sins paid for, there's only one person that can take care of that sin, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Herodias wanted to kill John, but Herod said, no, I'm not going to kill him. He's telling me the truth, and his preaching is getting to me. I want to keep him around because he's telling me what I need to do. So the first part of the story is Herod confronted by God. The second part of the story is where Herod makes the wrong choice and rejects God. Herod threw John in jail. His birthday comes. And Herodias' daughter comes and dances before Herod and his guest. Now, just so you know what was going on, a woman of position, a woman of decency, would not dance publicly before men. Dancing in this context was indecent, it was wicked, and it was left to the paid professionals. And so this girl, I don't know how old she was stepping way out of the bounds of decency to do this. And I can't help but think her mother had something to do with it. I can't help but think that Herodias thought this, hey, it's Herod's birthday, he's going to be drinking. If I can get my daughter to go in there and dance before him and she pleases him, maybe I might have a chance to get John the Baptist. Well, that's exactly what happened. This girl went in and pleased in her dancing, pleased Herod, and he was probably drunk, and he said, "Hey, whatever you want, I'll give it to you." He And the Bible says he swore unto her. He said, whatever you want, even to the half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. I'm sure the Caesar Augustus might have something to say about that, about one of his appointed rulers giving away, you know, a half of his kingdom that he was appointed over. But Herod said, whatever you want, to the half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. So this girl went to her mother and says, well, what should I ask? And Herodias didn't have to think for one second. She says, you go back and tell Herod that you want the head of John the Baptist on a charger, on a platter. Tell him you want his head. And so she went back, said, you promised me up to half of your kingdom. I don't want half the kingdom. Here's what I want. I want a platter, and on that platter, I want the head of John the Baptist. I want his head. It was a crisis in Herod's life. He had to make a choice. He had to decide, what was he going to do? He knew that John was a just man, a holy man. He knew that John was a man that told him the truth, that told him he was a sinner, that told him the kingdom of God was coming, that he needed to repent. And so he had a choice. What do I do? Do I give this girl what she wants, what she's asked for, or do I keep John alive? Do I stay in my sin, or do I repent because the kingdom of God is coming? Do I continue to ignore God's warning, or do I finally listen to what God's trying to tell me? A crisis, a choice. Do I choose my sin, or do I choose God? In verse 26, we read a moment ago, the Bible says, and the king was exceeding sorry. Yet, for his oath's sake, and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. And as we read in those verses, he sent an executioner to the prison cell where John was held and cut off his head and brought it back in a platter and gave it to this girl. We face a similar choice this morning. Some of you do. Some of you that don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. A choice just like Herod. Do I stay in my sin, or do I come to Jesus? Do I continue to ignore the warnings of God, or do I finally listen and get saved? Do I choose sin, or do I choose God? I want to tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter what you've said in the past. I don't care if in the past you said this publicly. Hey, I don't believe this stuff in the Bible. I don't believe this stuff about God. I'll never get saved. I don't care who preaches. I don't care who teaches. I will never get saved. I don't care if you've said that. I don't care, and you shouldn't care what your family might think about it. You shouldn't care what your friends might think about it. Herod made a choice because of his oath's sake and because those that sat around him, he didn't want to go back on his word, and he made a choice. He made the wrong choice. He beheaded John. He rejected God, and he was doomed forever. Don't make a choice this morning that will send your soul to hell forever. This morning, make the right choice. This morning, why don't you just decide to choose God? This morning, why don't you just decide to choose Jesus? This morning, why don't you just decide to choose eternal life and to choose heaven? Don't make a choice because of what somebody, the wrong choice because what somebody else might think. Don't make the wrong choice because you were a blowhard in the past and you said some things that you never should have said. Put all that aside. Doesn't matter what you've said in the past. It shouldn't matter what family and friends say. What matters is where you're going to spend eternity. And you need to choose Jesus this morning. You need to choose him. Herod chose to hang on to his sin. He made the wrong choice. So he was, in the first part of this story, he was confronted by God. In the second part of this story, he made the wrong choice and rejected God. In the third part of this story, we see where God rejected him. God said, okay, Herod, you choose your sin, I won't bother you anymore. I won't confront you anymore. Just go ahead and keep your sin, and one day it'll take you to hell. In Luke chapter 23, you don't need to turn there, but it's the account of Jesus' last hours before he was crucified. He was taken before Pilate. And Pilate finds out that he's from Galilee. And it just so happens that King Herod, this guy that we're talking about, is in Jerusalem. And one of the places he rules over is Galilee. And so Pilate says, hey, you're from Galilee and the king of Galilee is over there. Go over there and let him take care of this problem. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season because he had heard many things of him. Who do you think started telling Herod about Jesus? It was John the Baptist. It was the one that pointed his finger in his face and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not lawful you to have your brother's life. Hey, there's one coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to latch up. There's one coming after me who is the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah. I'm his voice. I'm preparing the way. Maybe even Herod was in the crowd that day when John the Baptist pointed out Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He was desirous to see him of a long season because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. Then he questioned with Jesus in many words, but he, Jesus, answered him nothing. He wouldn't even talk to him. Herod, you made your choice. You chose sin over me. You made your choice. You decided to hang on. I sent John the Baptist to you and told you to repent. I told you my kingdom was coming. I told you your sin would take you to hell. But you chose your sin. Herod, I don't have anything else to say to you. And he answered him not a word. I want to sound a word of warning this morning to all those that are here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. There comes a time when God says the same thing or will say the same thing to you. The Holy Spirit comes and he convicts you of your sin and he convicts you of the truth that you are a sinner. And he just keeps coming to you and says, you need to get saved. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you reject him over and over and over and over and over again. And God says, okay, I won't bother you anymore. I won't confront you about your sin anymore. I won't convict you about your sin anymore. You go ahead and hang on to your sin. It'll take you to hell. But I won't bother you anymore about it. It's a tragic place for a person to get. It's a tragic place that you can never come back from. And so I say to you that are here this morning that don't know Jesus as your Savior, if there is just this much conviction in your heart, I mean, if there's just a little bit of something that's inside of you, inside your heart, inside your brain, that's saying, hey, what that preacher is saying is true. You are a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty, and he offers you a life free of sin. Not because we're not sinners, as Dick sang a moment ago. We're just sinners saved by grace. And that grace comes from Jesus Christ. And if there's just this much of something inside of your head, inside of your heart, saying this morning, he's right, you need to take care of it, I'd encourage you to take care of it this morning. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I don't want anybody that's here today that's not saved to cross the line where God would say to you, okay, I've warned you. I've told you over and over and over and over and over again you need to receive Jesus, but you've rejected him over and over and over again. I'm not going to bother you anymore. Not going to bother you anymore. Say, Brother Darrell, you ought to not try to scare people that way. I tell you what, I'd rather scare them into heaven than not scare them and have them go to hell. I don't want to stand before God one day and he say, why didn't you do everything you could to get them into heaven? And by the way, dear Christian friend, I hope you've been reminded in the story of Herod that every single person that we know that's in our family, that are in our circle of friends, that are in our circle of acquaintances that don't know Jesus Christ, we better be busy doing everything we know to do to get them to the Savior. Because one day, if they keep rejecting him, they're going to cross that line. And God will say to them, hey, I won't bother you anymore. I'll leave you alone. Go ahead, keep your sin. It'll take you to hell. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I encourage you to choose God? Would you choose Jesus? Would you make the right choice this morning? The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you receive Jesus today, he'll take care of all your sin. He already died and paid for it. And he'll make you part of the family of God. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that everybody can understand it. Everybody can understand they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. And Father, we can see from this book how Jesus went to Calvary's cross. And when he died in our place. I was guilty. Every single person in this room was guilty. But praise God, there's so many people in this room that made the right choice. They chose Jesus. I pray for that person, maybe just one, maybe two that are here this morning that's never chosen Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you haven't given up on them. That right now you'll convict them of their need to receive Jesus. And right now they'll make that choice. I pray for Christians that are here. Help us to know that the time is short. That those we know and love that don't know Christ, they need him. They need him now. And help us to be busy doing what we can do to help them get to the Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.